For surely saith the Lord, it is the time to rise up. Yea, it is the time to come unto Zion. Yea, even as the children of Israel did so long ago gather around that mountain, and I did say unto thy servant Moses, yea, rise ye up and come up into the top of the mountain unto me. Surely it is the cry, and it is the sound that is being sounded in this hour, that thou art to arise, and that thou art to climb, and thou art to come up to that place in me, saith the Lord, that I might fellowship with you, that I might reveal unto you, even as I revealed unto my servant Moses, the plan and the purpose. So I would give unto thee also, saith the Lord, those things that are hidden, those things that have been kept out of the realm of knowledge, saith the Lord. I will give them unto you, that it might give unto thee that which thou needest for the hour that is coming upon the face of the earth. For surely the wind bloweth, saith the Lord, and yea, it calleth unto the hearts of men. It calleth unto the hearts of sons, saith the Lord, that thou might come up unto me, that thou might know the revelation of my existence, that thou might know the fullness of my being, that thou might know the fullness of the power that dwelleth in me, and the power that dwelleth in you, if I am in you, saith the Lord. For surely it is this hour of release, it is the hour, saith the Lord, of the pouring out of my spirit. For I am blowing upon the flesh of man, and there is a response, saith the Lord, in that there is hungry hearts that are opening unto me, and there is hearts that are reaching out to me, and in that hunger and in that place of reaching, thou shalt touch and thou shalt be filled. Yes. For surely this is the hour, saith the Lord, of preparation, and this is the time of preparation. So I say unto thee, prepare ye the way that I might walk with thee in it, saith God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you here again this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I went home last night and the Lord was beginning to speak to me. And this morning I had a dream. I want to share it with you. In this dream, it was very short, but very refreshing. I was in a place that reminded me a lot of Yosemite. But what I saw was they have a place in Yosemite where they have a falls that come out over the top of the rock there on this cliff that's really high up there. And they got a little path that you can walk up there and you can stand at the base of the cliff and the water kind of flows down and comes down. And the times that I have been there, I'm sure that other times there's a lot more water, but the times that I've been there, it's not been too vigorous or too energetic, but in my dream last night, it was a lot like that, except for the fact that it was about twice as high. The place that I was looking at from a distance was twice as high. And as I was looking up at the top of the rock, at the very top, the water was coming. It wasn't coming over the rock, it was coming out of the rock. Hallelujah. Much like, I suppose, to some extent, when it says that Moses struck the rock, the water came forth out of the rock. And but it was coming out with great force. It wasn't just coming out and running down the face of the cliff. It was coming out with great force, and there was a lot of water. A lot of water. You would think that the effects of it would be somewhat devastating because of the amount of water. And it was coming out, and it was shooting out about 15 to 20 feet.
there's so much force coming out. And there was no hole in the rock. It was just coming out of the rock. And it was, and then it would kind of shoot out and it would spread out and it would vaporize and begin to rain down. And it would just rain and rain. And the place was really very beautiful to look at. It was very serene, very peaceful. And I was there, and there were some people up ahead of me. And we began to make our way up the side to the foot of the falls there. And as we were walking there, some people were ahead of me, and I could hear sounds of shouts and laughter and things of that nature, of people just basically having a good time, you know. And then as you were walking up, the air was so thick with the water. It was just so thick with the water, the air, that you were breathing it. And as you would, you just wanted to take a deep breath, you know. You just opened your mouth and you breathed through your nose. You wanted to get all of it that you could possibly get. So you were just taking it, and it was like, it was so invigorating, you know. It made you so much more alive, and you could see the colors better, and you could hear the sounds clearer and everything, and you felt in your body so much better. You understand? It just felt so deliciously good. Hallelujah. But and we kept walking up, and we kept walking around, and as I came up around this kind of a big rock and trees and stuff, and I came up around this big rock, and I looked, and there were people standing there in the water with their hands lifted up. Hallelujah. And they were praising the Lord. And I was aware, and that's when I woke up. I didn't get in there. My goodness. Hallelujah. I knew that they were being healed. They were being healed. It was God moving in a manner of fashion, bringing, as it would seem, a revival. You know, I believe that we're living in the last day. I do believe it. I believe that we're not living in the beginning of the last days. I believe that we're living in the last of the last days. Hallelujah. And one of the things that is necessary, if you study your Bible, you will know that there was a spirit from God that was loose to herald His coming. Hallelujah. To prepare the people for His coming. Hallelujah. And that spirit was manifested in a man that was called John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was not singular in the aspect of the ministry. He was singular in the aspect of the time frame that he lived in. But he was being motivated by a spirit called the Holy Ghost. Because John had something that nobody else had up until that time. Because the Bible says that John was filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb of his mother. So he had the power of God in him. Hallelujah. And he was a representation of a clarion call that was being heralded by a trumpet. You know, there's a trumpet that blows. When they march around Jericho, every time they marched around, every day, they added another trumpet, didn't they? And they blew those trumpets. What were they blowing those trumpets for? Just still to make noise or irritate the people inside? Well, they may have thought that. They may have had that kind of perception. But in God's mind, God knew that there was a declaration being made. Hallelujah. And there was a warning to the people or the inhabitants in the land. Not only was there a warning to the inhabitants of Jericho, but it was also something that was working in the children of Israel as they marched around that wall and as they did what they were supposed to do with the blowing of the horn. I believe that we are living in that time frame. I believe that we are coming into that place of preparation. I believe that there is a spirit. You know, I said last night that almost everywhere I am going, it seems that God is talking about revival. Hallelujah. I shared a vision last night that I had when I was in the Philippines of water coming out of the mountains, and we have what we call a ministry to the tribes that live, they call them the mountain people. Hallelujah. Because they live up in the mountain. They're the indigenous people. They're really, most of them are really not what they call Filipinos. They're some of the indigenous people that were there before the Filipinos came into existence or were made by however process of genetic selection that went on in that respect. So there is a revival. When we were in Switzerland, the Lord was telling me that there is a need for the message of sonship. When I was in the Philippines, the Lord spoke to me about Australia and the need for the Word of God to be ministered in Australia. Hallelujah. If that's all true, then God is not going to forget His people. He's not going to forget His people. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. But His people have to be willing. His people have to be wanting. His people have to want Him more than anything else. The first and great commandment that is given to you and I as Christian believers is what? Love the Lord your God. Love Him. Love Him. Love Him. How? That's not just phileo. That is agape Him. That means love Him more than anything else. More than anything else. Well, you know, you and I can say, well, I love you, God. I'll give you my whole life until somebody points a 38 right between your eyes and you can see all bullets. Huh? And then it becomes a very serious issue. I was in a car one time and a man jacked an AK-47 and he jacked the shell into it and he was getting hot. Hallelujah. And you know, you're sitting there and you're saying, oh God, what have we got ourselves into and why are we here? Yeah, this is the same fellow that said, Lord, my life is your life. Do with it what you want to do. Okay, jack that shell right into the chamber. Start swaving that wild around, that barrel around. You know what I mean? You know, I'm familiar with guns. You can pull the trigger and it goes off and nobody, oh, well, whoops. I'm sorry. Well, sorry, I can't hear you. Hallelujah. Because it's a serious kind of situation. You know, and you know, maybe it's just the training that the Lord has given me. And wherever we go, they always pick on me. They do. They always pick on me. I go into the airport and I give them my passport and they start calling me a spy. They call me a CIA man. They call me all kinds of things. They give me a hard time. We get in a car and we're driving down the road. The police stop us. Huh? And they tell us to get out of the car. And they're telling me that I'm a sailor and I jump ship. Now, do I look like a sailor? Huh? No, I don't think I look like a sailor. But I'm a sailor and you jump ship, you know. What they're really wanting is from you. They want to intimidate you, want to bring you into a place. But this is serious business. We're out there in the backwoods of no place. And if something happens to you and disappear, the only persons that are going to know about it are the people that are with you. That's it. And if you think you can rely on the U.S. Embassy, forget it. Huh? Too much paperwork. Hallelujah. Too much paperwork. The only position, the only place of safety that we have is in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I was with a person in one situation that is extremely, can get somewhat agitated, get somewhat volatile, and has no problem getting... He's not intimidated. You understand? By circumstance, he's not. And he can vociferously begin opposition. And I'm sitting there in the back seat saying, oh God, keep his mouth shut. Oh God, you know, God, you know this situation. Let these people in the front seat handle it. Let's just stay out of it. And praise God, God heard my prayer. So we have power. We have power in the Holy Ghost. We have power in the Holy Ghost. But if you don't believe in God, then what is it, what available of that power, what availability or what benefit is that power to you? You know, the church, you know, the church has a wrong concept of Holy Ghost. You know that. We just came from a Czech conference a year ago. Just came. We're almost there again. Hallelujah. We came from a Czech conference where it was a tremendous conference, one of the best conferences I've been at for a very long time. And the Spirit of God began to move in that conference, and it was nothing else except for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Laying it out step by step, step by step. It was a three-step process. We first had what we called ignition, you know, if you could visualize that the launch ramp with the shuttle sitting on it, and I got this picture of in my computer on the screen about this night launch. It's awesome, you know. And we had what we call the initialization. We had where the motors fire. We had what we call liftoff, and then we had what we call breaking out of the atmosphere into space. It was tremendous. But the fact of the matter is, I found out something in the aspect is that we don't know. And I said we. Hello? I'm not saying you, I'm saying us. Hallelujah. And if your foot doesn't fit into this shoe, that's fine. Praise the Lord. Don't get angry with me. Huh? Don't get upset with me. Because I am not here to get you upset. I'm up here and here for a very specific reason. Because I believe that I'm hearing a trumpet. I believe I'm hearing a sound. And I have a responsibility, brother. You know that. If I believe that I've heard God and I'm standing on the wall and I see destruction coming and I say nothing, hallelujah, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty, guilty, guilty. I'm guilty of the fact of I did not open my mouth. So I have to open my mouth and I have to say, get ready. Hallelujah. Get ready. You know, I pick up the paper, and if it wasn't for the fact that I knew that it was prophesying to me of the end time, I'd be depressed. Huh? Every day, something else. Every day, something else. Every day, something. They pass this law here, pass that law there. And every time they pass a law, I keep digging something out of my pocket. Every time they pass a law, I dig something out of my pocket. Every time they pass a law, I dig something out of my pocket. I open my mail. And they get this. I get this census thing for businesses. Oh, my goodness. You know, they want to know my life history. They want to know everything about me, how many children I got, how many grandchildren I got, what they're doing, what their names are, where they live, blah, 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 blah. That's a little exaggerated, but it is actuality. What they're asking me in the aspect, and then on the front says, you are required by law to do this. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are coming, the secular prophets, as David Wilkerson calls them, is Harold. Have you read, you say, David Wilkerson's letters lately? He sounds like an end-time preacher. Hallelujah. He's preaching coming destruction. That's what he's preaching. He's talking to those people in New York and all around the world. Get ready because trouble is coming. It's on the brink. It's knocking at the door. And now we can sit back here and we can do all kinds of mumble-jumble or Holy Ghost jiving, and it's not going to do us any good. Hallelujah. What's going to do us good is getting to know Jesus. Getting to know God. I said know Him. Hallelujah. Know Him like you've never known Him before. And it's not going to come by abracadabra, Holy Ghost, come, and Jesus appear. It's not going to come that way. He says, he that what? Knocks. Huh? You know, sometimes He don't answer the first knock. Sometimes He doesn't answer the second knock. Sometimes He doesn't answer the third knock. Sometimes He doesn't answer the fourth knock. Sometimes my knuckles get tired of knocking. Hallelujah. But then it says, take a break. No, He says, if you want in, you have to knock. And you have to do what? You have to knock until the door opens. Huh? Seek and ye shall find. What does that mean? I spend 5 minutes a day seeking? Huh? Hallelujah. You know, quite frankly, we're busy people. We are. We're busy people. We have a lot of responsibility, things going on. We get up in the morning. We don't stop until we fall in bed at night. Hallelujah. We are busy people. We are busy people. Too busy. Trying to get out of it. Hallelujah. Trying to find the position, the place that God wants us in. But for the time frame that we are in this place, God is still requiring me to knock. God is still requiring me to seek. Huh? Hallelujah. And seeking is work for me. I can sit down and say, well, I'm going to fast today. And I think anything that has carbohydrates in it calls my name. Hello? Huh? I can walk by a piece of loaf of bread and it says, Bert, I'm over here on the counter. Huh? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I walk by a banana. I don't like bananas. I don't like them. I really don't. They're good for you. They're an excellent source of potassium and all that other stuff. But I don't like them. I don't like them. And I never thought I'd find a day that a banana would entice me. Huh? Hallelujah. And you know something? For me, it's just as serious as somebody else who has a bad habit and can't get away from it because I am not able to control it in the way that I should be able to control it. And if I say I'm going to fast for 24 hours and I do it for 22 and a half, I haven't come through. I haven't broken through. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, when we were saved many years ago, it wasn't one of this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7 jump and you're in the kingdom. No, it wasn't that way. We had to go up to the altar. We had to go up to the altar and we had to tarry. Do you hear me? We had to tarry. You know something? Nobody had to tell me why I was a sinner and why I needed Jesus. I don't know about your experience. I knew why I was a sinner. And I knew why I needed Jesus. That was the thing that I was nagging at me and that I was resisting. Hello? I didn't want to give up the cigarettes. I didn't want to give up the booze. I didn't want to give up the freedom and the living of life and my position or my place of personal right of freedom. Are you crazy? I was born with certain inalienable rights. And one of the things is I could be a jerk or a bum or anything I wanted to be. It was my right to be that. I didn't want to give it up. Kind of dumb, isn't it? From this perspective, looking back. But nevertheless, that's the way it was. Hallelujah. 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 So there is a position, there's a place that God wants to bring us to concerning the issue and a knowledge or an awareness. And, you know, and if we have... I was talking to Sister Sandy this morning, and I said, maybe it was last night, I don't remember, they kind of all run together. Hallelujah. I said, you know, there is no problem. There is no problem if we all knew Jesus the way that we needed to know Him. We would have no problems. It wouldn't be that there wouldn't be problems, but they wouldn't be our problems. There would be no hatred, there would be no malice, not at least in your heart or my heart, concerning the issue. Hallelujah. Because we would know Jesus. We would know the ability, the magnanimity of God, the vastness, the greatness, the awesomeness of God. And most of the time, most of us wouldn't even have the strength to look up, would be on our face in the midst of His holiness. Hallelujah. That would take care of I'm better than you are. That would take care of I know you more than you know. And that would take care of I'm right and you're wrong. It would take care of it. If we knew Jesus. But we don't know Jesus. And that is a problem for us in this hour. Hallelujah. It is a problem for us in this hour. And there's something that's always concerned me through the years with regards to this message. Because I am aware that in the end time, the invitation is not going to the church, outer court church. The invitation is coming to the inner court church. Is that right? It was the princes of the Lamb. It was the princes, the royalty of the Lamb that were being called to that supper or that feast of the Lamb. Isn't that right? He was sending out those invitations, to the lords of the land, the royal priesthood, the priesthood of the land. The king had set his table. Hallelujah. And every one of them were making issues. I've got this to do. I got this block of, I just bought this land. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. And I gotta take care of it. He touched three categories of life. Do you understand? The one was the buying of the land. The other was just one just got married. Hello? Hallelujah. And the other one was a yoke of oxen. He had bought oxen. He touched three different distinct categories, all of which you and I partake of and are under. That's not what I'm preaching about today. Go in your Bible, look at it, ask God to show you. And I'm sure He'll put His finger on your soul. He did mine. He is doing it to mine. Hallelujah. What I am wanting to bring to you today is the aspect of the desire that is in God's heart for you and I. In God's heart for you and I. Hallelujah. And we do not come into this thing without much tribulation. Brethren, we are supposed to be tribulated people. I wish it were different. I wish I could say, well, if you just love Jesus, if you just have the Holy Ghost and you somewhat have an idea and have a confidence in the word of the end times about sons of God, I wish I could say that would be sufficient. That would be enough. But it isn't. We are tribulation people because we are fighting against a tribulator. Hallelujah. His name is Trouble with a capital T. And his name is Satan. Hallelujah. And his desire is not only to destroy you, destroy your families, destroy your brethren, destroy this one, destroy that one, and destroy, 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 destroy. He wants to kill and maim and absolutely, totally wipe out anything that God has ever made, including you and I. I think we've lost our perspective. I think we've lost our scope. I think our vision has somehow been clouded. And, you know, in the midst of all of this, we, of all people, should know better, but we don't. Because he gets us fighting one another. We fight one another. Hallelujah. A man once told me that the person who is my greatest antagonist in this message will probably be my strongest ally. And the devil knows it. Hello? I'm glad God don't think like me, aren't you? You'd all be in trouble, wouldn't you? You'd be in big trouble. Hallelujah. But he doesn't. He doesn't think like me. He doesn't think like me. Hallelujah. I was praying about a situation, and there was this person, you know, and of course you probably don't have trouble with people, but some people I have a little trouble with, you know. Some people. Not all people, but some people. Well, maybe it's quite a few people. I don't know. But anyway, what I do know, I was praying about this brother. Praying. Because, you know, I love him. I really do. I appreciate it. I like his tenacity. I like his determination. And don't go speculating in your mind who he might be because you don't know him. I can just see the wheels turning. You don't know him. This is somebody you do not know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I like the brother, but and he's got a calling on his life, and I can see and sense the calling, and I kind of try to reach out to him, and every time I seem to reach out to him, I get my hand bit. You know what I mean? But nevertheless, I'm praying about him. I'm praying, and God says something. He wakes me up, and he says, I want to talk to you about so-and-so. And I says, okay. Because I was getting a little irritated with God over the facts, you understand, about this, the potential that was there that was just going to the trash can and not being utilized. So I was getting a little irritated with God. Of course, you probably don't get irritated with God, right? No. Mm-mm. You're probably just as steady and easy and none of this why God, why me God. But anyway, I'm not like that because I have those lapses of humanity, and I fall back into them. And I had been praying, and God woke me up, and he says, okay, I want to talk to you about this person. And I said, okay. He says, first thing, he says, my son. Wasn't talking to me. He says, my son. Oh, boy. And I said, you know, and you're thinking, you know, you could have gone all day, God, without saying that. Because, you know, I'm a father. I have sons, and I know the love that is in my heart for my sons. And you know, my sons don't always do what they should do. You understand? If you have children, you have a way you want them to go and things that you want them to do, and you give them the liberty to do it, but they don't do it in quite the way that you would like them to do it. And you know, they're up ahead of them is trouble. You know it. You know it. You know it. And something in here just turns over. Just turns over. But you still love them. You still love them. And if nothing else, you go to God more for them and begin to intercede for them and pray for them and make the demand upon God. You know, there's a scripture that says, command ye me. Huh? Jesus is talking to you and I. Command ye me. So I stand in there. I knew I was in trouble. I knew I had a bad attitude. I knew that I had not been looking at it in the correct perspective. And I knew I'm going to have to repent. Right there. Huh? Right there. Now, he told me a lot more. I'm not going to share it with you. But that was enough for me to know that where I was thinking I was right and he was wrong. Hallelujah. I was wrong also. My attitude toward him, and my attitude toward him, and the attitude that, and my nonchalantness or my detachment from, I'm a person who can detach. I mean, I can just uncouple, huh? And not feel any animosity, not feel any resentment, just uncouple, you know, take my hands off. And it's your problem. You work it out. I'll pray for you when I think about you. Praise the Lord. But I'm detached. Hello? Do we have any detachable people? Huh? Do we have any detachable people? Hallelujah. I can detach. And you know what the Lord showed me? In my detachment, I become useless. Hello? Because in me is a power. But I don't believe the power. I'm not aware of the significance of the power. He that believeth in me says what? He says, I will be in him and he will be in me. Isn't that right? Or he says another place, me and my Father will come and make our abode where? In you. And he says, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you have the fullness of God within you. Can you imagine that fullness is subjected to my detachment? Huh? It's subjugated to my detachment. I become useless. It's like an army unit that's trained for a particular thing in the aspect of insurgency. They're given all of the high-tech equipment. They're given the knowledge. They're given the training. They spend weeks out in the bush, going through rigorous training and in the classrooms and learning all the tactical type of information and the electronic stuff that they have to do with and all of that. Train, 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 train. And then all of a sudden, they're put in the background. Of what value is all that training? Of what value is all that instruction? What value is all that expertise? Huh? It's of no value. And it's the same with you and I if we allow the circumstances of our life to bring a division or a separation that creates, hallelujah, hallelujah, that creates a position where the authority is canceled out. It's canceled out. It's canceled out. Now, a lot of us are being canceled out because of ignorance. You understand what I'm saying? We are not aware of the spiritual reality of what is really working. We're looking at it from a personal perspective. We're allowing our soul to interfere or get in the way of the moving or the knowledge or the awareness of the spiritual arena in which we are living. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, the spiritual realm is a real realm. Hello? Did you know that? It's real. Oh yes, we can say it's real, but we don't believe it. Because we do things that demonstrate the reality of it. Now, we can live with that ignorance, or we can do something about it. Do you hear me? Hallelujah! One of the aspects of John the Baptist's ministry. We need to look at these different aspects of it. He was to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. Who are you looking for? Are you expecting to go? Are you expecting him to come? What are you expecting? If you're expecting him to come, you're in a different category and a different position and in a different ballpark where a game is being played out by different rules. Hello? Now, if you're just waiting to get there, praise God. I don't have anything against that except for the fact, hallelujah, that there is so much more for you and for me in the aspect of what it is that Jesus wants and has to give us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the devil is no slackard. He is no slackard. No slackard, no slackard. He knows us. He knows me. Devil knows me better than my mama knew me. And my mama knew me pretty good. Huh? She was one of those involved mothers. She was one of those praying moms. Hallelujah. And she knew me pretty good. But, you know, the devil knows me even better. Because he knew my mom and he knew my dad. And he knew my great-granddad, my granddad and my grandmas on both sides. And the greats and the great-greats and the great-greats and the great-great-great-great. He knew them all. Hallelujah. And he thought that he had me all tied up in all of the sins and all of the degradation and all of the aspects of diabolical wickedness. He thought he had me all tied up, and by all rights I should have been tied up. But somehow, some way, in some divine miracle, he broke through all that garbage, dug down to the bottom of the pile. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. He just rolled up his sleeves. He didn't mind the smell. He didn't mind the feel. And stuck his hand down there and kept reaching down until he hit the very bottom. And there is where he found me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Couldn't think right. Couldn't talk right. Couldn't act right. Hallelujah. You talk about social misfit, social dysfunctional behavior. My God. Hallelujah. It was God's mercy, do you hear, that intervened in my life, broke through every spirit, broke through every wall of resistance, came down, went right through my rebellion, and touched my heart. And my heart responded. Hallelujah. You know, and every time I get depressed or think I'm in a defeated moment, I just think back to that. I think back. It says, remove not the old landmarks. You know, that's what the Bible says. Don't take out the old landmarks. Leave those landmarks there. Those landmarks are there for a reason. You know, they used to have in California what they called witness trees. You know what witness trees are? They were the tree that was set up or that was growing or was planted, huh, between two pieces of property. And it was the boundary line. And the men would come over, I believe, to that tree when they were planting it or if it was there. And sometimes they would carve their initials on it. Or they would have a verbal agreement and shake hands. And that tree was a witness tree. And as long as that witness tree was there, it was always a reminder of those men of the agreement they made. Generations. And sometimes those witness trees, I've seen witness trees that were so dead, hallelujah, that you couldn't be any more dead than those trees. Just a stump sticking out of the ground. But they had shorted up and they had kept it there because it was a pact that had been made two or three generations back. And it was still in effect, hallelujah. Huh? The Bible says that the Holy Ghost is a witness to the position, the place, or the and a reminder with regards to the fact of the agreement or the covenant that God has with us. I said God has with us. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. God doesn't forget His covenant. His covenant with us is always every bit before Him. No matter if we're good or bad. No matter if we're hot or cold. His covenant is always there working. His covenant is always reminding him of his position if God needs a reminder. Huh? But the Holy Ghost is also been given to us that it might remind us. And that might come and confront us with the position, the place of our foolhardiness. Huh? Hallelujah. 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 Last night I read out of the Lord spoke to us in Illinois over the conference. My wife had a dream, and I'm not going to share the dream with you, but in the dream she was given two passages of Scripture. One was Matthew 10th, the 10th chapter, and the other one was John the 10th chapter. Matthew 10 chapter in the beginning talks about Jesus and his selection of disciples and sending them out. And he did what before he sent them out? He gave them power. Hallelujah. And what they were told to do was not to go. Not to go to the Samaritans, not to go to the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep. You know, our connotation, maybe yours isn't, but mine was. My thought of being lost is you can't find it. Huh? Can you imagine God not being able to find something? Huh? Omniscient. Omniscient. Omnipresent. Huh? What's the other one? Omnipotent. Can you imagine an omni God losing anything? I can't. I can't even comprehend how an all-seeing, all-knowing God would ever lose any. I'm always losing my keys. I'm losing my watch. I mean, my wallet. I'm losing my this. I lose that. I lose it. And my wife says, "It's not lost." I said, "What do you mean it's not lost?" She says, "I don't have it, and I don't know where it's at. It's lost." She says, "It's not lost." I said, "How do you say it's not lost? Because God knows where it's at." I said, "All right, you pray and ask God to show you." She prays, asks God to show, and there it is. She's my lost and found department. Hallelujah. I should just go there before I get irritated and agitated over the fact that I lost something that I didn't really lose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes, you know, God is good, and we are so funny. Sometimes I get irritated at her because she found it. Now figure that one out. Huh? Don't you ever get irritated because somebody was right and you were wrong and you thought you were right and they were wrong? Huh? What'd you do about it? You just kind of shovel it under the rug or make some sort of crack or a wise joke about it and just shovel it under the rug. No apology, no repentance. Just go on to the next time. Right, John?
Yes,
sir. Huh? Hallelujah. I do that a lot. But I'm learning. I'm learning. God's got his finger right in my head. Faith, I'm learning, friend. I'm learning. You are a bad boy. Not you, Frank. I don't think. Are you being a bad boy? Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm being a bad boy. I'm being a bad boy. You've got to do something. You know, it's the hardest thing in the world to tell my wife I'm sorry. You know, I can tell this one I'm sorry. I can tell that one I'm sorry. But it seems, why is it so, I love her, don't you understand? I do, I love her. But why can't I tell her I'm sorry? Well, I think it's a pride thing, personally, with me. I think it's a pride thing. I'm head of the house, I'm the man here, and I'm moving in this spirit of discernment, and I've got the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. You know, God is just working me over big time. Huh? He is. And it's good working over. You know, my mom used to have this big razor strap. She got it from Grandpa. Huh? My mom was a believer. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Well, my mom saw, she said, spare the strap, spoil the child. And I tell you what, mom would work us over. And I am thankful for that. I'm telling you, it did something for me. It prepared me. Do you hear me? It prepared me for a position or a place of relationship with God in my experience with Him. It prepared me. Hallelujah. And if mom couldn't handle it, oh boy, she says, I'm telling your dad when he comes around. I said, Mom, please don't tell my dad that. You know, Dad only disciplined me about 4 or 5 times, but I remember every one of them. I don't remember too much, but I remember every one of them. And you know something? When I came out of that, I loved him just as much, if not more. Hmm? Hallelujah. I appreciated it. I did. You know, the only problem I really regret is I never told him. Hallelujah. Before he passed on, but he knows. But I wish I would have been able to tell him. God, I wish. I said, Dad, I want to tell you how thankful I am that you love me enough to not hold back discipline. Hallelujah. Discipline is important. It shapes us, it molds us, and it prepares us. You know, the Hebrew says that if we're sons, then we are chastisable material. That's what it says. He says he chastises us because he loves us. If he weren't chastised, you would be something other than a son. Hallelujah! I don't want to be something other than a son. I want to be a son. Hallelujah! But I won't. I don't want to be chastised. I don't want to be tribulated. Hallelujah! On the basis of wretchedness or wickedness, I want to be chastised or disciplined on the basis of righteousness. That the chastisement brings forth the fruit, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And one of the responsibilities, I don't know. We think that following God in some manner or some fashion will always bring peace and harmony. It doesn't. Huh? It doesn't. Sometimes it brings a lot of trouble. Just following God brings us a lot of trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one time we went to Africa, Nigeria. We went down to Port Harcourt. I had the word of the Lord to go. The brother that I was traveling with from Europe had the word of the Lord to go. And, when the Lord tells me to go, I just pack my bag. I don't do checking and see what's there, what's going on. I don't look at the internet to find out the CIA report and all of that, or what the political environment is. I just pack my bag and go. That's the way I was trained. That's the way I was taught. That's what I believe in. God says, go, you go. And I go. Hallelujah. And when we got there, I began to sense something in the spirit. Huh? Of course, I was already there in my return ticket. Huh? Wasn't for 2 weeks down the road. So I guess now that I'm there, God can begin to show me a little bit about what's going on, because I can't get out of it. And I knew we were in trouble. We were in Lagos at Brother Alade's church there in Lagos. And on the last day, we had some very good meetings there. The Spirit of God was quite prevalent and moving, and word was coming and flowing. And at the last day, they were going to come and to pray for us and send us off to Port Harcourt, which is down in the Delta area in the southern part. I believe it's the southern part of, or maybe it's the eastern part of, eastern part of Nigeria. And he got up there and he kind of said, well, brethren, these brethren are going down to Port Harcourt. And he says, you know what that means. And I'm sitting there, what does that mean? I mean, you talk about somebody who's completely ignorant. I'm ignorant. And then he says, well, yeah, if they're going, they must have really heard from God about going. And I'm thinking, heard from God? Of course we heard from God. Or we wouldn't be going. But what's all this? And we really got to pray for them. And I said, oh boy, something's going on here that I am not aware of. And it sounds like trouble. Huh? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I don't want to die. No matter how much I talk it or preach it, I'm always preaching up here, I'm always reaching up here. I really don't want to die. Not really, really want to die. I suppose if I get put into a problem and with all of the training will kick in, you know what I mean? But if I have my druthers, die or live. I said, live! There's no doubt about it in my mind. Live! Live, live! Go this way. No, go this way. Huh? I don't want to die. I don't really want to die. I want to finish my race. I want to finish my course. I want to be in that company of people that the Lord, and I'm believing it. So anyway, we get ourselves all worked up, and Brother Martin and I, we go back to the hotel, getting our bags together to go over to the airport, and Brother Martin says, you know what he was talking about, don't you? And I says, I don't know that I want to know what he is talking about. He said, well, what he was talking, I said, I don't know that I want to know. I said, all knowledge is not edifying. And I said, I'm not necessarily one of those people who have to know everything. If you know it, keep it to yourself. Well, he was bound and determined to tell me. Maybe because he was aware of my internal environment and he just wanted to push on me a little bit. I don't know. So he began to tell me what was going on down there. What was going on down there wasn't really nice. I said, what am I doing here, God? I said, it's bad enough coming, to this environment, being in this environment, and it's much better than it was in the Lagos areas, but to go down there and they're kidnapping white folk. That's what they were doing. Kidnapping white, and then asking some ridiculous amount of money for them. There ain't nobody I know that could ever pay that money. And if they could, they probably wouldn't. Good riddance! We put up with him so long, now you put up with him! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so he began to proceed to tell me. Not only that, but then Lonnie said, well, I don't even go down there without a bodyguard. He said, they've run out of white people, so now they're stealing blacks. They've run out of whites, and we're the only two white people going down there. Well, okay, praise the Lord. We prayed through. I don't want to give you the wrong impression. We did pray through. We got on top of the intimidation, and we went down there because we knew that God had sent us. We had a word from the Lord. Do you hear? We had a feeling in our soul. We had, and it's not a feeling, it's a sense in our soul that the Lord was watching over us. And we went in there and we got there and, you know, I knew we were in trouble. I knew we were in trouble. We come out of that airport, the brethren all huddled around us and they're walking us and pushing us, you know, to the parking lot. Now we're in an airport, right? Crowded airport, people, security guards, army all around, and they didn't tell me until I left that these people were coming right into the airport and stealing the people as they came out the gate. They didn't tell us that. Now, thank God. Hallelujah. Just pushing us along. And they pushed us over to this van. It's got these dark windows. You can't see through them. Can't see through them. They're dark windows. Only two windows aren't dark. Three windows are the windshield and the driver's side and the passenger side. And they don't put me in the passenger side. They put me in the back of the bus. I told Cecil, first time in my life, I can identify. I rode in the back of a bus. I knew I was in trouble because they always treat you with honor. They treat you with preference. They put you in the front seat. They take care of you, you know. And Martin was standing out there outside the car and talking, and they were kind of fidgeting around. He was talking. I said, Martin, I think they want you to get in the trunk. Get in the van. And they took us and so forth and so on. And that night they took us out to a house, a private residence, big high wall, barbed wire all around the fences. You know, just all this thing, which is typical for Nigeria. And then the next night we went to a meeting and then we had another meeting. But in the interim of all of that, on the day that we left, that evening and the next night, there was a vision and a dream that someone had in Czech. And at the same time, there was a vision or a dream that somebody had in the States. Now, the one in the Czech showed us in chains and tied up with hoods over our heads. And the one from the States showed us in a prison with chains all around us and tackled down to the ground. And we didn't find out till later that there was many visions and dreams coming forth in the midst of the congregation. In fact, one brother said that he had had a dream or a vision, and in the vision he was driving us and we were in the back seat and two men drove up in this old beat up car, rolled down their window, stuck the AK-47 in his face. He says, I want those two men that are in the back seat of your car. And he said, well, I forgot about it. I said, thanks. Huh? So the Holy Ghost was talking, and I'm not going to go into it. It was a marvelous what God showed us in a dream and how he would do it. That's exactly how he did it. You know, he said that we would be led out of there by angels. And I tell you, there's at least two people or maybe three people that we met that I knew, though they were black, they talked like Nigerians, they looked like Nigerians, they acted like Nigerians, but they weren't Nigerians because they were angels, because they did things Nigerians don't do. Hallelujah. And God got us out of that. There is a position, there's a place that we have in God if we have the ability or the desire. You don't have to have the ability per se. You have to have the desire. Desire is the thing that qualifies you, hallelujah, to be a candidate for that position or that place that God wants for you. In fact, I think God wants it more for us than we want it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there is a need for the church to begin to do some self-examination. Oh, yes. There's a need for the church to do some self-examination. Self-examination. Do you hear me? I didn't say examine your neighbor, examine your wife, examine your husband, examine your children's children, examining fathers and mothers and so forth and so on, brethren, examining brethren, getting upset, getting in a quandary or moving in a way that is inappropriate. This is the time of self-examination. It is. I need to look, a good look, in the mirror. Hallelujah. There was somebody who once told me, and told me often, if I wanted something to complain about, go look in the mirror. And take a good, long, hard look. And you know, it really kind of stirred me up, so I went and looked. And what I saw kind of frightened me. It did. I saw my dad. Do you understand? I saw him. I saw him. I saw my dad staring back at me. Hallelujah. And not only saw him, but I saw my brother. And I see this one, and I see that one. And I say, my God, it's not a done deal. It's not a finished product. There's yet need for more work, more fasting, more prayer, more repentance. Hallelujah. You know that it was a spirit of repentance that John ministered? Did you know that? Huh? It was a spirit of repentance. It was a spirit of repentance. All he did was baptize people. Can you imagine that? Taking somebody down, put them in the water, that's all he did. That's all he did. No healings, no major tent shows, no positions, no place of knocking people down, no prophecy, no this, no that. And yet the Lord said he was the what? The greatest prophet up until that time. Hallelujah. All he did was baptize people and tell them you're a sinner. You need to repent. That's all he did. That's all. Hallelujah. No mighty works, although the works came with the advent of Jesus Christ. It's not the works, do you understand? Works are a byproduct of relationships. Now, there was a time, like in 1948 or 1906, God poured out His Spirit in a divine manner, but God had to do that in order to revive the church, to save the church. Do you understand? It took divine intervention. Men and women were poured, the Spirit was poured upon them. We used to have a lady that we was a friend of my mom's. Her name was Sister McClurg. And her and her husband spent many, many, many years in some parts of China as missionaries, and I'm not quite sure where it was or what it was, but as a young person she was in some of that outpouring of the Spirit. She was in Beale's Temple there in Detroit, I believe it was. Wasn't it in Detroit? Hallelujah. Beale's Temple in Detroit. And the power of God would come down in that room like a fog. It's in the history books, if you want to look it up. It would come down like a fog. People would walk in the door, she said. Hallelujah. And as they walked in the door, the Spirit of God would smite them, and down on their face they would go. Not blacked out, but down on their face in repentance. And confessing their sins and their position and their place of rebellion and all manner of wickedness that they were involved. In fact, it was so bad they had to kind of snake them back through the door because they would walk in and fall down, walk in and fall down, walk in and fall down. Hallelujah. Told her it was divine intervention. Hallelujah. But the divine intervention in this hour, in this time, when the church is on the verge of annihilation, of being stamped out, you cannot preach without fear of jail in some places in the United States. Are in Canada, for instance, for sure. Hallelujah. There are hate crimes laws and all of the different things that if you even mention what is in the Bible or read the passage in the Scripture, come on, brethren. The church is on the verge of annihilation and becoming extinct. Well, maybe you don't agree. Maybe you don't see it, but I don't know how you cannot see it. It's on TV. It's on radio. It's everywhere you look. Hallelujah. The worldliness of the church. There is no righteousness. I heard that guy down in Texas, Osteen, when he was on Larry King Live. Did anybody see that? Oh, my God. Hallelujah. They ought to take... He even defames the word pastor. If that's possible. Huh? Hallelujah. They have a gospel that makes you comfortable with life. It gives you no hassles. It gives you no trouble. It gives you no interference. It gives you no ability to be able to complain. Oh, we had a good time at church today. Yes, come to our church. We always have a good time. Hallelujah. Somebody even made a movie. It was called Time Changer. Huh? Out of court movie. Showing the lethargy of the church. The lack of sensitivity. The lack of Holy Ghost. The lack of... And it was a good movie. It depicted the things very well. Of the attitude that is in the church. And that was a couple of years back. Huh? Hallelujah. The church is on the verge of extinction, and you and I are being called as rehabilitators, as restorers. He says he shall restore. Didn't he say something about restoring the breach, repairing the breach? Hallelujah! But we are being called as a ministry. Don't you understand what is on the table before you as individuals, both personally and collectively speaking? Hallelujah. Brother Gruber came in the May conference, and one of the things that he said, oh my God, you know, there's two things that I've heard Brother Gruber say that has blessed me tremendously. The first thing he said, that when he was in a time of dire trouble and his life was hanging, literally, by a twig that was stuck in the cliff, the word that came to him was, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You know, he didn't rebuke devils. He didn't get up and begin to pronounce being translated. What he did was to secure his position on the side of that cliff. Hallelujah. My goodness, I'd be looking at that twig I'd be hanging on to and wondering all of the time what the G-force of that thing was. You understand what I mean? Huh? But he gets himself regulated around and he reaches in his backpack or pulls his backpack, gets his Bible out and starts reading the Word. Just opens his Bible and for 2 hours or 2 or 3 hours, he just reads the Word out loud. Huh? Making a proclamation. And all the time he's reading it, something's going on in his soul, giving him the strength, giving him the vitality, giving him the means, filling him up with a little go juice, a little climb juice maybe. And finally he gets up there and he gets kind of feeling a little fortified. He sticks his book back in his back and he gets it back on his back and he begins to make his way back up there. Now all this time he's nursing a leg that is seriously injured. In fact, the doctor told him when he looked at it, you can't walk. Of course, he had walked probably 35 or 50 miles in order to get to the doctor. Huh? And he makes his way up the cliff a little farther, and he runs out of energy, so he stops again. Pulls his Bible out and begins to read again, and he reads again for another 2 hours maybe. That's tenacity, brother, isn't it? Huh? That's knowing what you believe. And you just open that little Bible up and just begin to read. Huh? I bet you didn't fall asleep. Huh? I bet you didn't fall asleep. That's one time you could read the Word and not fall asleep, right? Hallelujah. And he finally makes it up to the top. My God. Simple, isn't it? Huh? Simple. Simple, 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 simple. Simple. So simple. My God, that can't be spiritual. It's too simple. It was so simple. Hallelujah. And the other thing that he said that the Lord told him this last time around when he was here is that the Lord says you cannot go by your experiences. Now, you're talking, I don't know if you've sat down and listened to this man talk of the places he's been and the things that he's done and the life-threatening circumstances that he by no means or right should have ever come out of alive, and the diseases that have attacked his body that he has overcome. Now, if you would think anybody who could rely on his experience, he would be it. But God said to him, you can't rely on your experiences because you're going a new way. A way that you have never been before. And those experiences, though you can build on them, will not be the answer to the dilemma that you are going to run into. 1 year ago, this July, the Lord woke me up. And as I was waking up, He said to me, there is a spirit. Hallelujah. He said, there is a spirit of a higher echelon order that is coming against the body. And I said to him, you mean it's a religious spirit? And he said, no, it's not a religious, that's a lower order spirit. He said, it's a spiritual spirit. It's going to look like God, it's going to sound like God, and it's going to almost be God in your mind. It's going to be a demonstration of power. There's going to be a witnessing of healings or a testimony of healings. Fantastic, marvelous things. But the whole motive of the Spirit is not for you to become a son. It is to detract you and detour you and make sure that you do not get into that position. Now, I went into my Bible. I said, is that in the Bible? He says, yes, go into your Bible and read. It says, great deception is coming. Great deception is coming. That if it were possible, even the sons of God would be deceived. Now there has to be a key in all of that, brother. Don't you understand? And I'm asking God. I'm asking Him, Lord, what is it? What is it that will keep me from being deceived? What mighty power, what mighty work, what mighty thought or deed or place is it that I have to be in with you in order to not be in that category of people? And he says, you know, Bert, you're making it too complicated. Yeah, you're making it too complicated. It's not complicated. And it was that I was sitting in a meeting here recently, and they were talking about the time of the end. And they were talking about the Spirit. I don't have my Bible, so you'll have to look these things up. It'd take me too long to try to find it in this one. They're talking about the four spirits on the four corners of the earth holding back the winds until the sons of God are the sons of God were sealed in their forehead. Now, you know, there's a lot of thought and talk going around with regards to all of that, but I went back over into, I think it's in Ezekiel, and it talks about those that work. But in Ezekiel, I think it's Ezekiel 9, I believe that is where it's at, it talks about four carpenters, right? With slaughter weapons in their hands. Isn't that what they say? Yes, Ezekiel 9. And he cried in mine ear with a loud voice, saying... Now, do you hear that? It's a loud voice. Now, it's loud in the aspect of a clarion call that is announcing warning. Do you have those sirens here? Mm-hmm. Huh? Now, are they quiet and soothing? They're kind of irritating, aren't they? They go off at all kinds of times and whatever else, you know. But they are there for a purpose. They're there for a purpose. Hallelujah. And one of the days they may be going off, and the purpose may be that you need to find some shelter somewhere that will protect you from whatever it is that is coming. He cried in mine ear with a loud voice. That means there is a proclamation that is going forth, and it's going to be loud, and it's going to be clear, and there's going to be a witness in the hearer of the word that it is listening to, that is going to put a witness on the aspect. And they caused them to have charge. Do you hear that? Caused them to have charge over the city to draw near. Even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. I went to the Lord about some of the political situations that are going on, and I say, God, we are supposed to be in a position. We're supposed to be in a place of authority. We should have, it would seem to me, some aspect of authority over what is going on within the land that we are living in, if what is going on is wickedness. And it seems, I said, I need you to tell me what it is that we need to do. The only thing that the Lord said to me, He says, it is the hour of darkness. Do you remember what Jesus said at the end there? Do you remember? Huh? About the prince of the world, it being his time. It was in the position, his place of preeminence. Huh? He was working in accordance to the position or the place of the liberty that God gave him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are again, I believe, coming into that time frame. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which layeth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one of the men among them was, and one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And he went in and he stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the Lord, God of Israel, was gone up from the cherubs, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the door. And he called to the man clothed with the linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the heads, the foreheads of the men that do what? That sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. It's an awareness of the position or the place of iniquity that is working. And the reaction in your soul with regard to that iniquity. And it starts here first with me. It says, it's not mighty works of raising the dead. It's not the healing works of restoring eyes and ears and limbs and moving in whatever manner or fashion. It's not even raising the dead. Hallelujah. Or is it in actuality of preaching some anointing or moving in the realm of saving souls? It has nothing to do with that per se. What it is a knowledge that you have of the desire of who and what God is, what He wants for you and what He wants for me. Do you hear? And the fact of that not being accomplished, what does it rise up in the midst of your soul, personally, individually, with regards to that? What kind of reaction do do you have? Do you have a reaction? Oh God, who shall deliver me from this body of death, as Paul had when he looked at himself in the mirror? Hallelujah. And saw the wretchedness of his own individuality and the position and the place of his knowledge. He said, I counted all but what? Dung. That I might what? Do win what? Christ. And what? Be made what? Conformable to his death. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is a time frame that we are in. We are in it. I believe we are in it. God is prophesying. He's bringing forth visions. Not just me and my prophecies, me and my visions. He's bringing forth visions and prophecies all over the world of an outpouring of His Spirit. And you know something, what I know? Hallelujah. That with every major catastrophe or tribulation, there is a revival that goes on. With every move of God, there is a revival that goes on that precedes the catastrophe. Hallelujah. There is a need for us to understand what responsibility that God is putting into our hands individually. Not just for the sake, for your sake and my sake. Hallelujah. God is putting something in my hands. Do you understand? I have a responsibility to go before God and begin to make some major changes, some major adjustments, or at least lay myself on the altar that they can be made and be willing to begin to give up those things that have caused me not to be able to facilitate and to do what it is God wants me to do. Hallelujah. You know, it's a serious time. It really is a serious time. I've said that for a long time, but it really is more serious. Time that we are living in today. It's a time for self-examination, brethren. Huh? It's time for us to take a good, long, hard look at ourselves in the mirror. Hallelujah. And ask God, reveal unto me. We know we sing this song. What is it? If there be any wicked way in me, what? Do what? What does the rest of the song say? Huh? Yes. There's a need for change. There's a need for change. Change, change, change. You know, it was either my mom or my dad. He says, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Huh? You know, I came into the gospel. There was nobody. Do you understand? There was nobody. There was no home meeting. It was just starting. The Lord was just... So we had to do what we had to do. Do you understand? And we had to do it by ourselves. There was nobody there to help us. We had to find God, and we had to move in God, and we had to hear from God. Hallelujah. And we had to do. And you know, it's hard. Hard. Do you understand? Hard to come to a place where God is saying the order is changing. It's hard when you know that you hear from God and you have to submit yourself to the process of hearing with regards to the broad body. It's a hard situation to change. It's a hard situation to change after so many years of moving and doing and finding God moving. And then God says, all of a sudden, you can't do it that way anymore if you want to be a part of the thing that I'm doing in this hour. It's a hard thing. Hallelujah. And it's not something that we who have had that experience can just say, all right, that's what I'm going to do. We have to work at it. Hallelujah. We have to get down before God. And what was right in the past will not be right now. And God won't honor it, even though you know in the Spirit that that's what God wants to be done. And you go and you want to do it. And God says it's not permissible. Because that's not the way I'm doing things anymore. You either conform or you are out. Well, brethren, I don't want to be out. I don't want to be out. We bring to sing a song, we are bought with a price, we're not our own. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's a time that words and songs and thoughts have to be backed up by actions. I think the church is standing at the brink of the revival that was being poured out in the chapter of Acts when it talks about the church and its growth and its development. I believe a revival is coming to the church, not because of good times, but because of hard times, because of tribulation and trouble. Hallelujah. The time of prosperity is coming to a close. The time of depravity and need is beginning to blossom. And you are being called. You are being called. Each and every one of you are being called to participate with God in that event that is going to happen. This is like tribulation such as the world has never known before. We've sang it, we've heard it, we preached it, but we haven't believed it. And we have to start believing it. Hallelujah. And we have to start touching God's garment. You know, God told me, He says, many of these situations that are developing in the church between personalities and he said to me, they are non-issues with the reality of church and humanity, the survival of humanity. When you look at it in the prospect of what it is, you don't have food, you don't have lights, you don't have electricity. All you have is each other and the Holy Ghost. Huh? How much difference is it going to make that this opinion or that opinion or that opinion when your next breath or your next position, your next place of living comes from the generosity of somebody who might have just a little bit more than you do or is willing to give you what they got because you don't have anything either? It changes. It changes your perspective. Hallelujah. You know, I saw the church down in Africa, in Nigeria. I saw it grow and expand. And they were poverty stricken. They needed each other. Do you hear me? And they helped each other. They put people up in business and they worked with them and they gave them money and they did this and they did that. And they're dealing with personalities. And these people didn't always respond right in the way of their personality. But that did not stop the church from moving and doing what the church was supposed to do. And one time I was down there and I said, you know, these brethren have really made it. They have come to a place. They have come to a position in relationship with you that they don't. And God said, no, they haven't. He says, all they ever known was poverty. And they have learned how to respond to each other in poverty. But they have to now learn how to respond to each other in prosperity. You know what happened? Church split. No longer needed each other. No longer was in that position or that place of help. Hallelujah. We need to examine ourselves. It's a time of self-examination. Getting down before the Lord in fasting and prayer. You know, every time I preach, I just dig a hole deeper for myself. I do. I just dig a hole deeper. One of these days it's going to get down deep enough I can just lay down in it and God can shovel the dirt in. Hallelujah. We're going to be put into situations and circumstances that if you don't respond right, and if I don't respond right, the consequences of it is going to be something that we wish that it were not. But let us not wait. Let us not wait. Let us not wait for that time frame. Let us not wait for that moment. Let us not wait. Let us begin to knock. Let us begin to seek. Let us begin to ask. Let us begin to demand the position and the place of deliverance that God has for us individually as well as collectively. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, I believe God will respond. The Bible says that if we draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto us. And boy, when He draws nigh unto me, I want to be ready for the presence as much as I possibly can be. Hallelujah. God bless you.
afraid that the word that you brought today, Lord, would burn in our soul, Lord. It would bring forth the life and fruit that you have intended it to bring forth. You would draw us near and to
that. Hallelujah.
Call us to walk in, Lord, that you have called us to be, Lord, in Christ. Help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray.
Lord God, this word demands a response.
Yes.
Lord, help us, and dear people, oh God.
Amen.
Oh God, break through our stony, cold hearts, oh God.
Yes.
Oh Father, help us to rededicate ourselves to you, Lord.
Oh,
God. Oh Father, remove those things that hinder us, oh God.
Yes.
Lord, we are so easily distracted.
Yes.
Lord, we're so busy with things, oh God.
Yes.
God, bring deliverance to your people, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Bring deliverance to your people, oh God. We call upon your mercy. Oh Lord, we need your mercy, oh God. Cause us to arise and to awake, oh God. Oh God.
Oh, shut up,
Lord. Oh God, cleanse us by your blood.
Yes.
Oh God, give us strength. Strength to knock.
Oh,
strength to seek. Oh God, draw us near, Lord. Help. Give us strength to draw nigh unto you, oh Lord. Oh God. Lord, cause us to hear your voice, to know you, oh God. Oh, Jesus.
God, help us not to be numbered with the foolish burdens, Lord God. Lord, we cry out to you for your life, oh God, to come forth in its fullness, Lord.
Yes,
help us to realize the lateness of the hour, oh God. Lord, that we might not just know it with our mind, Lord, but that
be
something more that's within our souls, oh God.
Yes.
Lord, that we would go to the outside, that we would arise, oh God, in you, Lord.
Oh, yes.
God, bring conviction in our lives of all unrighteousness, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God, those things that remain, we desire to be a holy people unto you, oh God. Lord, to be perfect even as you are perfect. God, bring deliverance and save your people, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, in the name of
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, let this word burn within our hearts, oh God. Let it not fall by the wayside, oh God. Oh God, let the excuses be gone, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
For this word today, too, and we just pray that you will quicken our hearts, Lord, to share with our family and friends, and we just pray for divine appointments this coming week, those that we can contact with, too, Lord. Just help us to have a desire, Lord, to want to share the gospel.
Oh, yes.
And like us in prayer, Lord, help us to instead forgive out all those excuses, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, we also know that if we that are drawing close to you, Lord, we also know that the power of the enemy is there too, Lord. And we just pray against that power, Lord.
Yeah,
Lord,
yeah.
We may not be deceived, Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord, you've told me that
tell people about you. You're going to tell people about the upcoming destruction that's coming, Lord. You said about the Christian Holocaust that's about to come upon the church in general, Lord. I have been quiet about it, Lord. I haven't known how to say it. I haven't wanted to sound ridiculous, Lord, but give me the strength.
Amen.
Lord, stir up the hearts of the young people.
Lord,
open the eyes of their understanding, Lord. Father, to see the vision, Lord, the hope of their calling, O God. Let your light break forth, Lord, in their hearts and their minds.
Oh God. Heavenly Father, we just bless you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us to come together, Father, and restart your word, Lord. Father, as Bert spoke this morning, Father, help us, Lord, to look into our own hearts and to judge ourselves, Father, and to cleanse ourselves, Father.